there are 62, apparently, 62 breweries in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, don't worry. Are there now 60? That's crazy.
I've got 62 listed, but I think I've got everything counted because I wanted to see which ones we hadn't drank anything from.
Yep.
So I need to do a quick, I mean, honestly, I know it's more than half. We're doing it live. Count if, the range is C2 to C63, and if it is zero. 26 of 63
is sampled from.
Zero, so 100 times count if that divided by 62 is...
What on earth are you doing?
41.93% of the breweries in Nova Scotia we have not sampled anything from.
Can I go lie down now?
I was just doing some math. I am Ross. With me is Ian. And sadly, we don't have a special guest tonight because he was busy. But regardless of that, even without a special guest, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. Mm. And tonight, we are trying to do that in the form of a couple of stouts. And I believe, by kind of accident, but not accident at all, we've chosen some oatmeal stouts. And I feel like we've had this conversation before as to what is a stout and what is an oatmeal stout. Do you drink one and say, oh, that's not an oatmeal stout, that's just a regular stout? And I feel like, can you discern easily between the two? We can immediately look that one up. I hope so.
Well, I mean, oatmeal stouts. spoiler alert, taste a bit more oatmeal-y than regular stouts do.
Oh, well.
I did my research.
Yep, all is explained.
Yeah. Don't you find that oatmeal stouts tend to be a bit more like mealy? You feel a little bit more full with an oatmeal. They're very... cereally.
And I wanted to say cereal. Yeah, if there is a cereal adjective, I agree. Because not saying it's just like oatmeal, but it's like the breakfast grain and sort of bready type of. Not granular, not like crunchy, but you can really say there's a bit more of a barley flavor to it, I think. And maybe someone just sort of said, ooh, that tastes a bit like oatmeal. Someone said, let's invent the oatmeal stout. Ta-da!
When you're on a diet and you're trying to skip meals but still get something in you, you go for a protein bar because it's like a meal in a bar form, right? And you don't want to. I think this is the liquid equivalent, an oatmeal stout. Then have a pint of that, and you don't need to eat anything, and you still get all the goodness, the nutrients, and all that good stuff in liquid form.
Is it the nutrients, or is it just sort of like? I mean, it. There is literally barley in here, so whatever you're going to get out of barley, I guess you would get.
Yeah, there was no science to that, by the way. That was just me talking English, putting some words together. None of it made any sense.
Contains barley and oats, but I agree. Yes, and I was a little worried because I thought, oh, he's not going to suggest that people on a diet go out and have an oatmeal stout, is he?
No. however, and pregnant women, and you, you happen to have one. Swanning about the place.
It's true. Yes, I collect them. I'm up to one.
She would know that stouts, of course, swanning around. I'm sorry, Brittany. That sounded very rude. She would know that the iron contained in stouts, and very famously, Guinness, are supposed to be. If you're going to drink beer at the end of the day, if you have to drink alcohol when you're pregnant,
gun pointed to your head. Obviously, this is the situation.
Yeah, because it contains like iron, and there's nothing a baby likes more than a good pint of iron, like that.
With the advertisement with the toucan balancing the Guinness on its snout, I think that's one of the taglines.
Yes.
There's nothing baby likes more than an overpowering amount of iron in your mom's beverage. I did not know that iron was. Contained, if not even advertised, in Guinness. This is new to me completely.
Oh, okay. You learn something new every day drinking beer, don't you?
I have to apologize. I keep coughing because I'm clearing something out of my throat because I think there's a... there is a crust of pizza. There is a tiny, speaking of granular things, I think my beer tonight is going to taste a little bit like pizza crust. I have, in total preparation for the oatmeal stout, I decided to cram barley and grain and yeast in my esophagus. And I think that's technically in my windpipe, but I wanted to cover all my bases is where we're at there.
Okay. Imperial stouts versus oatmeal stouts, Russ. One reputable website here says the stout.
Does it rhyme with snoogle?
I Googled it, but this is a website that... stout is synonymous with dark-toned goodness in a pint glass. The supremely malty beer style is one of the best-known beers and loved in the world, and for good reason. In fact, during its heyday a couple of centuries ago, prior to better medical judgment prevailing, the best stout beer was believed to have curative and strengthening properties. I won't labour this anymore. There's another sentence. Says, this was the go-to beer for athletes training for the Olympics or looking to plug some calories back in. Post-soccer match, it says. And while it may not actually have medicinal properties, stout is a remarkable beer. And one last sentence. Now, while there are a whole host of stouts, including milk stouts and even oyster stouts, there are really only two kinds you need to familiarize yourself with. Standard grade and imperial. We'll save the milk stouts, oyster stouts, blah, 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 chocolate stouts, all that stuff for another story. And they include in that the oat stout. So there's only two we need to familiarize ourselves with. Standard grade and imperial. Imperial, we know all about, don't we?
Well, I have had one more imperial than you have. You missed the Tatamagush Imperial Russian Stout. Mm. It was very, very good, and I hope they still do have it there at their location. We've found some very good Tatamagush beers, but I thought you were going to say it was also going to say also this is the favored beer for pregnant women because you get all your iron.
Well, I didn't read that. I made that up. But the oatmeal is stout. So we are about to do some, apparently, two different oatmeal stouts that we don't even really need to bother with. So the internet tells us.
So we can just skip these and just go straight to an imperial stout.
Yeah, just forget it.
Well, that's fair. We've done a few oatmeal stouts, actually, and that caused the big issue when we were told that the Good Robot Oatcake computer was excellent, and neither of us liked it. But we thought that maybe that was because it had rattled around in your trunk for a bit too long.
Maybe, and also, but you couldn't hear what I said anyway because you didn't have the audio on.
Oh, was that the audio problem, Knight? Oh, God. He said, checking over at the sound levels.
Are they on?
We're good.
Hey! Yeah. Good stuff.
Only five to 10 minutes in, so this is probably the best time for it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the best. Regardless, the first one that we do have, we're going to stop talking about the actual thing. Let's shut up and eat the damn orange. We're going to get straight to the actual beer. And this is here the Goldilocks Nitro Oatmeal Stout. You'll notice that nowhere on the can that it does say Spindrift, but if you look in very closely, we did discuss this already, it is a Spindrift brew made by Spindrift Brewing, and you can find it on their website, because on the can it says absolutely nothing, but on their website it does say Goldilocks Nitro Oatmeal Stout. This stout will taste just right thanks to co-packaging with our pals Craft Coast Canning, who dozed this dark, smoky oatmeal stout with nitrogen just before the can was sealed. The result is a robust stout with thick, lush mouthfeel and a silky texture that really enhances the flavor of the cocoa, vanilla, and espresso. Oh, dear. If this is a nitrogen-infused stout, this one is... this might absolutely blow the other one out of the water. I mean, it's almost unfair to have a nitrogen stout going up against a non-one. However... Mm-hmm. The 4.8% alcohol volume is, I want to say disappointing, and not for my usual reasons.
Okay.
My usual reasons is, could we make everything stronger? But my other reason is, it says nitro. And maybe, okay, now I understand that it's nitrogen infused.
You were convinced that from the word nitro, it sounds like it's going to be some bomb in it, and it's going to be 8.5% and not.
Yeah. I guess the word nitro is synonymous with super powered or extra strong. And that's my mistake. Honestly, it is 100% my mistake that's not what nitro always has to mean.
Misled by some advertising on the can. When has that ever happened? happened.
I mean,
when we thought we were buying something and we got something completely different just due to the advertising. That's a great bit. But the can itself, though, isn't it cute?
It is. It's delightful.
Goldilocks and
I like the fact that it's jet black and all the art and most of the fonts are in either gold or red. The gold with the sort of the red outline, and this is Nitro in red, then Oatmeal Stout, and all the drawings of the three bears and the Goldilocks. Oh, she's stealing their beer. I see. And she's dressed a little bit of the Oktoberfest waitress kind of thing. Am I going too far? The lace up dress.
I think maybe. Well, she's got like knee length socks and shoes. Yeah. She's basically how Little Red Riding Hood would be dressed, isn't she?
Little Red Riding Hood was probably taking some beer through to Grandma in the forest. It's pretty safe to assume that that's what was in the basket.
I think I might have been mixing up my childhood stories there. I was mixing up Little Red Riding Hood with Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Hmm. Did you notice something else on the side of this can? There are instructions on how to pour it.
I did see that. That was great. That was for the idiots among us that haven't yet figured out how to pour a can of beer. I'm not one of them. I figured that out years ago, thankfully.
So it says, step one, pour hard. Which frightens me. Two, allow to cascade. That's the easy part. Three, enjoy. Another easy part. But the pour hard bit frightens me, I gotta say.
Yeah. Well, how do you normally pour, soft?
I guess so. Yes, I pour trepidation.
Down the side of the grass. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to pour it too hard.
Give it a tilt. Give it a thing.
Yeah.
Now, our good friend Jamie has once showed me how to pour a Guinness properly, which is you flip the can 180 and put it as deep in as you can, and then you slowly lift it so that the air, the top of the can being flipped upside down, is submerged in the beer immediately. And then you slowly remove it that way.
Is that just his way of doing it, or has he seen that?
He's a genius.
Oh, because it worked.
It worked. Yeah, absolutely. Are you ready for me to show you that and hopefully not make an enormous mess?
Yeah.
All right, let's give it a roll. By the way, the smell of it, it's a... it doesn't have that much... I can smell a smoky... And maybe a little bit of a sweetened chocolatey thing in there, but it doesn't smell incredibly like a cereal or the barley that we come to expect. But here goes. I'll try this. So you basically you dunk and splash the can in there. So here we go right away, boom. And then what you do is you just slowly pull the can up. And then the can is just every single time you can sort of, if I had this closer, you could hear the bubbles as it were coming out. And then as you get to the top, the can is now empty, and you have perfectly done. And this works fantastic. Guinness cans do this perfectly because they've got the little widget in there.
I was about to say, Ross, coming back to the Guinness, you said that was the perfect way to pour a can of Guinness. Well, I'm not gonna cast any aspersions to Jamie on this whatsoever. But whenever I pour a can of Guinness, it looks exactly like yours just does at the end of it, regardless of how I poured it. So I just pour it down the side of the can, and I still get this wonderful white creamy head on top of it. That's because it's got that little widget in it that gives it that creamy head.
That is true. The upside down pull out thing, it is kind of fun, it is kind of scary, but it also controls the amount of head on the top. And since this is, I think it's still a nitrogen infused, it's got a very delightful head on it. It is jet black. There are some, see the bubbles sticking to the outside of the glass there? Have you poured yours?
No, I haven't poured it. I've just literally just opened it. It smells.
Oh. I got a huge smokiness and a lot of flavor
very,
to this.
Very oatmeal-y.
I'm
looking forward to this because you and I are big on stouts, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah. We have no problem with stouts. I have been doing some math. to go all the way back to my math thing. Okay. And I have checked on our visual graphs the totals of beer type currently. The stout is in the lead with the type of beer that we have the most often at 13% of the beers that we've had thus far are stouts. Second place is the IPA with 9.4. And I think it's not because we like IPAs, it's just because they're so damn many IPAs. So and I have this conversation every time I talk to someone and I say, oh, what's available? Do you have anything new? They said, well, we've got an IPA. It's, yes, of course, you've got an IPA. I understand that.
Yeah.
I did make my way out to Sea Level Brewing, and that's where I got my new 20-ounce glass. And they had a new one on tap, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was an IPA and it was quite delicious. It was called something like a Hupfer or something like that. It was a very rhythmic title to it. Yes, doesn't this smell? I am looking forward to this. This smells very good. And it's an oatmeal stout.
I mean, you said it's only 4.8, but it smells so full-bodied. It smells it. I haven't tasted it yet, but my God, it smells it. It smells so rich, malty. Cheers.
Yes, cheers.
Come on. Oh, good.
Huh. That's incredibly tasty. It has now changed three times, but up front, it was so smooth going down. I drank almost half of it right away. Mm-hmm. Like, I just kept drinking because I was searching for flavor. You know how sometimes you get the flavor as you're swallowing?
Yeah.
I don't think it was there.
No, it's not. It doesn't taste as tasty as it smells tasty. Does that make sense?
It's not as strong, that's for sure. There's taste, obviously. There's flavor. But it's up front. You can drink this whole thing as a tap water and then wait for the rest of the flavors to wash you over, I feel. Which is... I'd say it's an unfortunate way of going about things, because the flavor's good.
Oh.
It's, it tastes like a... There's a mild taste of a strong ale in there, and then it eventually goes around to... and then the smokiness on the back end. I'm not really getting the oatmeal-y.
Okay, well, I'm kind of struggling for to try to decipher what the taste is that I'm getting. It's not sweet. It's not like a milk stout. I'm not getting a sweetness, so it's more cereal based. But I'm struggling to find the words to describe what I'm tasting.
It tastes more like the same flavors as a strong ale. Even though it's not a strong ale at all, that's what I'm getting, and I think a strong ale often tends towards the maltier side of things. But it is a smoked malt; it is a very burned malt, is what I'm getting in this, because you get the burn malt up front, and then the burn again, or the smoke and the smokiness of it at the end. This is unlike any other oatmeal stout I think I've had.
I'm not getting the smokiness, Ross.
Really?
You've mentioned that a couple of times now, and I'm kind of searching for it on my. Do I need another swig of it?
I mean, my initial swig got me the thing, and then each additional swig afterwards is kind of confirming and solidifying the opinion there.
It's perfectly pleasant.
Yeah. Oh, very, very smooth. Yeah. Nothing unpleasant about it.
I just find it a little. It's a little unexciting. A bit run of the mill. Do you know what I mean? I kind of thought I was expecting a little bit more.
I was expecting a bit more flavor. It is low in flavor. I was expecting a very smooth. You know, we've had a nitrogen beer. Even Kilkenny. What is it? Is it a brown? Is it a red? What is Kilkenny? Is it something? Kilkenny, Guinness, a few others that have the nitrogen infused. I remember back in the day when you get a nitrogen infused beer on tap at certain pubs around here, there was a feel to it. Like the bubbles were a different kind of feel. You could almost say, oh, this one's so different. And there was a delightful feel to the bubbles in it. I'm not getting that out of this one. This feels like just any old carbon dioxide bubbles.
Yeah, it's looking for the nitro. You're looking for the nitro. It's a little unexciting. It just and as I'm looking at it now, of course the head is completely disappeared and it looks like a flat beer. Stouts do that, and that's I'm not bothered by that at all. But it just seems a bit bland. I was excited by that. Rick Jensen, by the way, he was drinking a Goldilocks Nitro, and he was moved. To poetry.
Oh my!
Yes, The 10th day of Stoutmas had finally rolled around. I stared into my beer cupboard. There were few left to be found. I spied a lonely Spindrift product crying out from the rear. I knew this oatmeal stout very soon would disappear. Yum, yum.
That was it.
Yeah, he's a man of few words. You don't need
and
much.
His, all of his words are about the anticipation of drinking it and not about what it tastes like or if he even enjoyed it or not.
No, that's where he stopped. So we got his preamble, but we've got no idea what happened in the end.
We've been over my ire and exasperation for shoddy internet reviews of things that don't actually tell you anything. So I don't need to go into that again. All I can say is, what was his name? Ken Johnson, Rick Jansen. What was
that?
Crap. That was complete crap. I don't care that you can rhyme words. If you can express your opinions and actually give people some information to process and put it in rhyme, fine. But he's just, right. No, he's chosen a few words and it's, no.
Well, he gave it 3.75 out of 5. So I think that's probably all you need to know.
I do not think I'm going to go that high.
It's about as expressive as the beer, is Rebecca's review.
Ooh, it's not savage burn.
I know, it's not terrifically flavoursome. I'm okay with it, Ross. I could quite happily sit here and drink two or three of these in a pub and I would be not bothered by it whatsoever. I'd just be thinking, I'm leaving at the end of the day thinking, yeah, I had a couple of oatmeal stouts down. They'll say, oh, oatmeal stout, what was it like? And I'd be like, it was all right.
But, and now, because of the amount of beers that we've had that you sort of drink and think, oh, I never want that one again. I feel like if we were in a pub somewhere and we said, hey, what do you got on tap? And they'd say the usual. And then they'd say, oh, and we've got this craft beer on tap. And we'd, oh, okay, tell me more. And they said, oh, and one of them is a stout. We said, oh, bring it here. We'll have two of those right now. And if they arrived with this in a noisy pub that usually has Molson Canadian, we would each drink three and we would call that a great night out. And we say, oh, wasn't that a good beer? Because when you were in, I don't want to call a Canadian or a Nova Scotian pub a hostile environment. But if you're looking for really delicious flavor, you're never going to sit down at a pub and get served a Black and Tackle Russian Imperial Stout, the greatest flavor on the planet. You're not going to get that. But if you get something that doesn't completely offend your senses, do you sort of say, you know, yeah, that was fantastic that I had something and it didn't really go crazy. It was easy to drink. I think I would have rose-colored glasses on if we were served this particular stout in any pub in the province. I would probably be saying that this is a 10 out of 10 because of how unassuming it is, because of how basic and smooth and easy to drink it is. I would probably be saying that was the best night out we've ever had.
Right.
However,
I get this.
Drinking it now for the purposes of telling everybody what it's like, I have to say, I have to fully agree with you. It's not very expressive. It's a little bland. It's a little boring. It's incredibly smooth, and I could happily drink three of them. But
oh, I could too. And of course, we've got to still understand that this is in a can, and we all know how much better when a hand-pulled beer in a pub by someone that knows how to pull it can taste so different from something you get in a can that you open it up and throw it into a glass yourself. It really, there is no, sometimes it's hard to imagine it's even the same beer if you put a can next to a hand or cask aged beer that's been pulled correctly. The same beer itself can taste completely different. And what I was about to say was, this is from Spindrift. Now, we've made no secret of the fact we both prefer darker, maltier beers than lighter, hoppier grain beers, right? We'll drink them all, but we prefer, if someone put a gun to our head and said, what's your favorite? We would certainly err towards the darker beer. Now, Spindrift have blown me away with some of their beers. The gold that you... The Killick and the Tola Gold that you threw at me last year, and I was like, ah, it's a light ale. And I tried it, I went, wow, I was not expecting this to be that good. It's fabulous. And that's a light, lagery, pilsnery beer, whereas this is a darker oatmeal stout. If you said to me beforehand, Spindrift, I've got two on offer for you, Ian. We've got a lighter straw-coloured golden ale or an oatmeal stout. I'd be like, give me that oatmeal stout. It's going to be way better than... No, it's not to me. This is slightly dull and a bit generic and a bit middle of the road, whereas the Lekilic and their lager, the Tola Gold, are fabulous.
Their lagers are better lagers than this stout is a stout?
In my opinion, 100%.
I think I can certainly agree to that. And it's forcing me to say, and you might be a little bit more critical numerically, but this is just a little bit over a passing grade for me.
Well, you know, you said yourself that if you sat here in a pub and drank three of them, you'd be like, yeah, it's perfectly nice. We had a nice afternoon. We sat there and drank an oatmeal out from
not offensive.
Non-offensive. However, you'd say, and they'd say, oh, shall I go and get a four-pack? You'd be like, yeah, well, if you want. But, you know, it's not exciting. We just had a nice afternoon because the company was good. It's perfectly fine, Ross. But I'm not leaping up and down about it.
Leaning towards a six myself.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. No more than
six. Bit of a six, which makes it sound like we didn't like it. And I feel a little bad about that. But it didn't quite pop. And maybe I was expecting more than I thought I was. But when you say oatmeal stout and you say nitrogen infused, oh, my expectations go whoop way up to the top.
Excited.
I want delicious stuff. I want it creamy. Yeah. I want it frothy. I want give me all of the maltiness and like a full mouth feel. And it was thin. I guess might be because sometimes when you it's a very thick it sticks to the side of your mouth. You're like, ah, yes, that's all the hot. I'm getting all the taste, but it was so thin. Like I said, the initial few gulps, I was halfway through the glass because I just kept going gulp, gulp, gulp.
Yeah,
because I felt like I was searching for that first little lick of flavor, and it wasn't there. So I said, I'll take another gulp. Second gulp, nope. Third gulp, nope.
And are you getting gulp? Coffee?
Coffee?
I mean, you said it was a smoky thing. Are you getting like a roasted coffeeiness to it? Because I'm not. But didn't the
I think it's just a roasted malt that I'm feeling.
Roasted malt. Okay, maybe I'm.
Yeah. What did? Let's go back to my.
Because I'm not getting coffee.
Where was my description thing here? It was dark, smoky oatmeal stout. Robust stout with thick, lush mouthfeel. Whoa. No, and that's just it. The thick, lush mouthfeel. I'm not getting that. Silky texture. Not getting the silky texture either. Enhances the flavors of cocoa. Nope. Vanilla. Not really. No. And espresso.
There's no. I'm getting... There's a guy called Scott Garnett, and he's... Wow.
Did he write a poem too?
He did not write a poem. He didn't need a poem to say this. He'd throw it all into seven words, six words, in fact. and seeing as he gave it half a point, you know where this is going.
Ooh.
It just says super flat. Where's the nitro? Undrinkable is what he says. So he's given that a review. It's a bit strong to say it's undrinkable, but I'm with him. I'm with him with the nitro. It is very... It died, didn't it? When I said, where's it all gone? I didn't expect that.
It died.
There doesn't seem to be any life to it.
No.
It's just a bit bland. A bit flat and a bit... Bleh.
So I feel like we're either being incredibly generous with our 6 out of 10, because between Poetry Man with the 10 out of 10, I'm about to drink it, it's probably great poem, and the 0 out of 10, I can't even... I won't even feed this to the dog kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're somewhat in the middle. And I don't think we're being generous. I honestly think that 6 is low, but I can't give it a higher mark than that.
You didn't go with Shakespeare. You meant more with the Joe Rogan kind of thing here, that this is garbage.
Well, I've got his haircut. No, I'm not trying to say this is garbage. I'm trying to say if I went anywhere, honestly, after having drunk this, drank this just now.
Yep.
If I go anywhere in the province and they say we've got Spindrift's Goldilocks on tap,
yeah,
bring it here, I will say yes, because I know that unless I'm in an actual craft brewery, there will be nothing better on tap.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So you're going to say yes, bring it to me.
Yes, of course, I will. If you go into Daniel's Pub and Fish Tackle Emporium in Lower Penobscot, and they say, "Oh, we happen to have Spindrift's Goldilocks." I'm like, "Oh, thank God!" Because otherwise, I'd have to drink a Bud Light. Or, you know, if you're really lucky, sometimes you can get the St. Ambrose Oatmeal Stout is a good one to find when you're abroad in one of those, you know, the exotic vacation land of New Brunswick, and you have to settle for a Rickard's Red or a McCausland Scotch Ale.
Incidentally, having not travelled particularly since that little virus come along, how are our neighbouring provinces faring with the microbrew? If I was to go to, let's say, Fredericton, would there be 30 microbreweries on offer that I could try, or would there just be? Or would I be walking into a pub and I say, "What kind of beer you got?" And they go, "Oh, we got all kinds here. You know, we've got your Keiths and your Olands."
Let me preface that by saying I don't know anything, and okay. I have not been. Have I been to New Brunswick since pandemic? No, I think it was just before pandemic, and I was visiting St. John, New Brunswick, on a regular basis, where there are two or three little microbreweries and a few just outside of town, and I taste there's some delicious stuff coming out of those ones. I'm not really sure what's going on in the Fredericton game myself personally, but, and here's another plug for the Atlantic Canada beer blog, which I do send to you, and it's got a big listing of everything that's going on in the entire Atlantic provinces. They do talk up, honestly, I think it's fair to say that Nova Scotia is a third in there. There's a good little blurb about PEI. There's a good blurb about Newfoundland, but in just the few that I've read, I'd say there's less is said of New Brunswick than the other three. But maybe that's just my perusal of it. So I will, let me...
A little voice over my shoulder while you were saying that said, Fredericton's got about 20.
So there you go.
Oh, she would imagine. Okay.
Oh, I would imagine. So again, we don't know anything whatsoever. I'm going to look up my Atlantic Canada beer blog. And because over on the right-hand side, which I'm not going to... Oh, here we go. New Brunswick beer links. There are a lot. That is as good a list. In fact, that feels like the same length of list of breweries that are in Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure they've probably got here we go. There are ones, and they even tell you where they are. So in Fredericton, I'm just going to do a quick walk down. There's one, Coastliner. Oh, that's Coastliner Craft Cider. Never mind. We'll cut them out of the running entirely. Gahan has a location in Fredericton. Greystone, and a point for Greystone for spelling gray correctly. Grimross Brewing is in Fredericton. It's to Half Cut Brewing. You got to try that one out. And then what else have we got? Mama's Pub, Maybe Brewing, and Picaroon. Oh, Picaroons. I've had Picaroons a few times. And then Red Rover. Oh, that's a cidery again. The Cap, whatever The Cap is, and York County. So there's apparently like four cideries and about six breweries.
Okay.
That's not bad. According to this, if Atlantic Canada Beer Blog is anything to be believed, that's what's mostly going on there. However, what's going on here in our faces and in our glasses is the next one here is from Breton Brewing of Cape Breton, obviously, and it's the Storm Chaser Vanilla Oatmeal Stout, which is 5.5%. And despite their very, I don't want to say samey, but minimalistic can design, where it's just, it's the big B for the Breton Brewing logo with the little hop across the sticker of it, the little title down at the bottom. And then the theme color for this can, gotta love it, purple.
Listen, this is if I saw that on the shelf,
gotta pick it up.
I would swear that was grape juice. It would be like a Gatorade or something.
I was going to say it is grape candy colored, but that draws me. Give me your purple.
Because I would have been thinking, oh my God, it's a sour. That's what my immediately thought was. Oh. That would look like a sour can. But of course, it says on the front, vanilla oatmeal stout. So immediately my interest would be piqued and I would be picking it up.
I think they're vanilla. Their pomegranate blueberry sour is in a similarly purple, but it might be a white can with purple writing on it.
Right.
You make your little faces on that one, but I will say the pomegranate blueberry sour is, unlike your second gentleman would say, it is drinkable. It is a drinkable sour because it's more fruit flavored than that gross. Hey, here's a liquid that you want to get out of your mouth as fast as possible kind of flavoring that seems to go to most sours. P.S. We don't like sours as much either. No. But this is why we're drinking the dark beers every now and then. Written on the can, we might expand on this. I'll see what kind of poetry you managed to find on the internet about this. Expect a flurry of vanilla, warm hints of roasted coffee, and velvety chocolate. This smooth, cozy, easy drinking stout is brewed with the holidays in mind. We're a bit late. No matter the time of year, never mind. I was a little worried. Well,
I did actually buy a Christmas spiced beer today while I was in the
we'll have that in May.
Yeah, well, I was wondering whether or not I should buy it, but I thought I'll buy everything that they've got at the moment because I bought two of them, and that was one of them. So whatever. You can drink this stuff all year round, like they said.
You can't go into a pub in the summertime in Nova Scotia and say, I would like your darkest beer you've got. And they say, well, we might have a little bit of the red left.
Yeah, or the Christmas spiced ale.
By the way, there's absolutely no chip on my shoulder whatsoever about being a dark beer drinker in the land of IPAs.
Nope.
No chip that I can think of. I have cracked this one open and we're going to smell it.
Okay, I'll join you.
Huh. I am...
Are you searching?
I am searching a little. Ooh, okay, there's a little, if you concentrate, there's the chocolate. But it's mostly just that sort of roasty, roast barley kind of smell.
It's a little stronger, isn't it? 5.5
up from 4.8. I forgot to ask you, because I did spy you were trying the inverted can trick on the Nitro Goldilocks there.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that? Did you feel like a magician?
It's less impressive than your balancing a can on its ass thing that you did, and while it's like one third full, was voodoo. That was black magic.
I would now like to hear your stories of doing that with a straight face at any pub when you're served a can.
Yeah.
Do you not do that yet?
I've never tried it yet. No.
To impress people? Again.
No, I've never done it.
If you're listening and you've never tried this before, I can't even remember who showed me this, but someone showed it to me and I thought it was black magic and I now do it as often as I can. If you take any can, small or tall, and get it, if it is drinkhead down to about a third of its level, the little ridge that you get around the bottom of a can is a little lip and you can actually balance it directly on that.
And I've seen it now. I've done it myself, and it still looks like impossible. I still don't believe it's possible, even though I've done it myself.
But, yes, she can get through. Oh, good, the dog is here. But, the short story there is I'm not going to try the upside down thing, because I reserve that for nitrogen stouts.
Okay.
For two reasons. One... when I tried doing it in Jamie's presence, I said, oh, here's another stout. And I tried to do the trick that he did, and it wasn't a nitrogen stout, and it basically went everywhere. He looked at me like I was a puppy that had just, you know, left a puddle on the carpet.
Yeah, that's an elementary schoolboy mistake. You don't pour regular beer upside down like that, because all you're going to get is all this pesky foam come over. You're supposed to pour it slowly down the side of the glass. especially if you want to leave the sediment in the bottom, which I don't actually. I usually like the sediment in a I don't mind cloudy beer one little bit.
Well, that's the other thing is, and this has happened a couple of times to us when we, to me especially, because my glasses are not the right damn size, but I get a third of the way through the beer and then you're describing a flavor and I'm thinking, I haven't experienced that flavor yet. And then when I pour the last of the can in, I think, ooh, that's where it all was. The orange flavor had settled all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to start collecting, and I've switched over tonight. I've not got my usual glasses because I'm trying to do the ones that... can house the entirety of the beer, which was why I poured the nitro hard, just as they suggested. Now I've run out of space because this Breton storm whatnot has resulted in a bit of pesky foam, I don't mind saying. In fact,
mine's perfect.
Oh dear. Oh, it's about to go over the
breached your glass.
Mine's making a small mess. It is acting. Yeah.
Looks good though, Ross. Looks like a nice lickable ice cream.
It's a bad souffle.
If this review is anything to go by, I will be expecting a flurry of vanilla, warm hints of roast coffee, as bracing as a winter gale.
Huh. Well, how do you get warm winds and bracing winter gale?
Warm hints of roast.
Oh, warm hint. Okay.
And as bracing as a winter gale. This guy's been eating the poetry books as well.
That sounds comforting and complicated at the exact same time. I'm not quite sure what to make of that particular review.
Well, Cape Breton's got a bit of everything in it. If it's weather you're after, go there.
Yeah, if it's warm hints you're after, do not go there.
Yeah, don't go there. It's not warm hint land for sure. Where, it's 100% of everything.
When you're on your way up Smoky Mountain, there are no warm hints of moose. It is very large, blatant, flagrant signs saying moose. How is the aroma and fragrance of this one?
Very wintry gale. I think.
Really, it's still just very basic-y stout to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Looking forward.
In fact, when I cracked it open, Ross, if you had blindfolded me, I would have sworn that I'd just opened another can of Goldilocks. It was extremely similar in smell.
I'm looking forward to it. If this is going to knock my face off with vanilla, that would be a kind of a welcome change. So we'll see how the flavors go. All set?
Okay. Yes. Cheers.
Vanilla, right? Yeah,
There is. And coffee. It's sweeter as well.
Well, that's that vanilla at the very beginning. It reminds me of a vanilla Coke right up front. That's curious. And then there's the coffee in the middle, and then a little bit of a roast at the end. So that roasted espresso. What was the can say? It said, smooth, cozy, easy drinking, has vanilla, roasted coffee. Ooh, velvety chocolate.
Ooh. Okay.
The moment I said the words velvety chocolate, it peaked at the end there. I just got a little tiny bit. Maybe is that just my brain processing the words velvety chocolate and turning it into the flavors that I am experiencing?
My goodness. Do you have synesthesia? You didn't know about? This is good.
That's a big word.
What is
synesthesia?
Sorry?
What is synesthesia? I don't know.
Oh, are you not familiar with synesthesia?
I guess not.
Okay. It's that. That would be.
End of conversation. Oh, you're not familiar with it? No. Okay.
An extraordinary ability for some people to, if they have synesthesia, they equate in their mind one thing with another that's not related, i.e. if they see a number, let's say for argument's sake, this is just an example, Russ, 52, let's say 5, let's make it easier.
Okay.
If they see the word 5 or they hear the word 5, they can taste a melon or something. To them, the number five tastes of melon. Or someone's name, Ross, for instance. If they hear the name Ross, in some people that have this, I'm going to call it, for want of a better word, condition, ability, call it what you will.
Okay.
If they hear the word Ross, they, in their mind, it brings to mind something that they equate, that their mind equates to that name or that word.
Okay, so it's not always a flavor or a smell. It's just
not necessarily a flavor or a smell. It could be anything else. It could be anything. They could even see you, Ross, and there might be a number attributed to you. So
yeah.
It's something
so you
that
could
you
say,
and I cannot comprehend, because our minds, neurotypical people, we cannot conceive of this. At
well,
all.
I mean, I
but
link two unrelated
conceive
things
of it the other way around.
But you mean if someone says Catherine Zeta-Jones and a person hears that name and just suddenly feels as though they're immersed in water?
Yes. It's mixing up the senses, says Rebecca. It's a mixing of the senses.
Oh.
A neurological condition. They are not neurotypical by any means, but it's fabulous.
I probably have many neurological conditions, but I do not think that I've got that one. I don't mix up my senses.
No.
I should more often, probably.
It's a fascinating subject.
I don't feel like I do.
Sure.
Where did this arise from? Because I was discussing this. You asked me if I had synesthesia. Because
I don't know. Look back at the podcast later on.
All right, we'll hit rewind and then talk about that later. But
this is delicious.
I will say it's not that much more delicious than the other.
Okay.
Really?
I think it is.
It's got more flavors. Here's the thing. It matches the description much better than the Nitro did. The Nitro said it was going to have a few things.
Yeah.
Where this, again, is, it's not an oatmeal stout that's knocking my socks off.
No, okay. It's not blowing me away, but I think it's quite delicious.
The little bits and pieces that it said were going to be in there are in there.
Yeah.
The chocolate, the coffee, the vanilla.
The notes of this and that.
The notes of bits and pieces. So it's, again, not the greatest beer I've ever had, but it's the more accurate of the two.
I just think it's a nicer flavor on my tongue than the other one is. The other one was really rather bland, and it was very standard fare. Whereas this one, you know, you were talking about if the bar, you say, I'll have three of those then. And also after the evening, if someone said, how did that Breton Storm Chaser Vanilla Oatmeal Stout go down? I'd be like, oh, yeah, I liked that. You should give that a go.
I will say it's tasty. And where they said it was going to be a vanilla stout, it was a vanilla stout that up front right away. Yeah. Here's your vanilla flavor.
Yeah.
And P.S. We've got some other regular stout flavors on the back end.
That's quite nice.
It's maybe a little thicker. It's thicker than the other, I think.
Okay.
I'm now going to start saying thick and thin as describers, because I don't say invented, but we started using the word rich to describe certain beers.
Yeah.
Neither of these are very rich, but this one is thicker than the other.
It's thicker. Unreal, said Jackson Dunn. This will blow your stout palate away. The Storm Chaser is true to its name. Creamy, smooth, with hints of chocolate and roasted vanilla. Overall, delicious. It is no surprise that it beats Guinness by 0.11 of a rating.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Are alarm bells going off in your mind? He is. Oh, that's shots fired towards Guinness. What is your brain thinking about that?
And he disappeared. The very next day, he disappeared. Basically.
he was run
adrift. This is good. Did that get a thumbs up from you, Rebecca? I heard you mmming in the background. Yeah, it was better, wasn't it?
It's good. Yes. Does this deserve a slightly better mark than Guinness?
How on earth do you rate Guinness? Have you ever thought to stop and rate Guinness, Ross?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's your basic, if that's your benchmark, most famous stout in the world, let's not argue that. It's a fact. Most people have said they might have tried a Guinness. They might not have tried any other stouts, but they might have had a Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rate Guinness as a flavored beer?
it's upper nines. Somewhere what? Between a 9.2 and a 9.7, I would say. Because the thing about it is that they get the nitrous creaminess, where they talk about the creaminess.
Okay.
And that's what I was missing from the nitro one, because I know what a smooth Guinness tastes like. And I have been spoiled with the fact that Rebecca might remember this, but I think you came to Wolfie Land Patties just a little bit after they stopped serving the nitro infused Chimney Swift Stout, which was like, if you can imagine, you know, this vanilla flavor here, or like a creamy, like a slightly sweetened creaminess. If you could apply that, so fancy a white chocolate flavored Guinness.
Yeah,
that's what the Chimney Swift Stout used to taste like before they couldn't put. They decided that it was too expensive to keep infusing things with nitrogen.
Okay, who was brewing that, Ross?
I never cared to meet brewers or things.
No. I don't mean individual. I mean which brewing company?
Patty's. That was Patty's thing. And the Chimney Swift Stout is why the band the Chimney Swifts named themselves that.
Oh, I had no idea.
It was the most delicious beer. And I hate the fact that I can't. You can't compare it with me. But whenever we drink a stout, I do compare it to both Guinness and the Chimney Swift Stout. Because it is the infused nitrogen and the creaminess of it. Why? and the body of it. So I do rate Guinness very highly. And I would, if I were, and I am kind of, but if I were comparing every other stout to a Guinness, they would always get lower marks, and they do. I haven't found like a 9.5 stout yet that gets close to Guinness on that creamy foam of a
right.
Just that. I mean, you know, you drank
18.
Thank you. 18 of them on your 50th birthday.
Yeah.
A feat which I plan to at least match. I've got several years. This entire project is me training.
The Chimney Swifts, the band, got their name from the Chimney Swifts, of course, which disappear into that chimney right out the back.
Oh, the bird?
Of the back of Paddy's, because of course they all come to roost there and go crazy. But of course, now I'm understanding that the Chimney Swift beer that you're talking about probably would have got its name from all the Chimney Swifts that nest outside of Paddy's. And as a result, the band were drinking, the fledgling band were drinking Paddy's, like this beer enough, and then decided to call themselves it.
There's so a one really comes from... good chance they're both named for the bird, and 100% of the members of the Chimney Swifts currently are too young to remember how delicious the Chimney Swift Stout was. It's become a kind of a geriatric sort of, you know, war story of back in my day, beer was infused with nitrogen. Youngsters don't know how good you've got it. Oh, we drank so much of that. But it is.
Is that how they talk in Wolfville? In Wolfville pubs?
Well, the older people. Those of us who are 35 and up.
Right.
That's only when we talk about beer, and only after we've had about six, we all talk like that.
Yeah, and then you all become Charles Dickens characters.
Yeah.
Well, back in my day, Mr. Scrooge, no, you can't pop your car here.
You know, back in those days, this is all you'd have been served in pubs. Stouts were so popular back in old Blighty, back in the day, back in the Victorian age.
What was that phrase? You caught that from, when you were looking things up on the internet, and it said the most, it was the most triggering phrase for me. It said, when stouts had its heyday 100 or so years ago, I went, I am personally affronted by that sentence. I'm sorry. Stouts are still having a heyday in your mind. It is always a stout party going on up here. The birds. Oh, Keir is in chat, and he's explaining that the birds were named after the band and the beer.
The birds were named after the band.
Right. And the beer was named after the band. Okay, so that makes a lot more sense chronologically. That makes much more sense.
The beer. Okay, the birds were named after the band, and the band was named after the beer. Yes, that makes sense.
No, the birds were named after the band, and the beer was also named after the band. So basically, everyone heard the band, the Chimney Swifts, and they're really great. P.S. This coming Saturday, if you're listening to us live, come see the Chimney Swifts this Saturday night at Horton Ridge Malt, Malt Brewery. Horton Ridge Malt. It's not the malt shop, because that's the chocolate shop from Riverdale and Archie and Pop Tate. Horton Ridge Malt. There's another word at the end here. Malt house. House is the word I couldn't think of.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. But go see the Chimney Swift this Saturday night. If you're not listening to us live, go see the Chimney Swifts Saturday, January the... God, Saturday. Help. What's this Saturday? 14th. Saturday, January the 14th, 2023. If it's after Saturday, January the 14th, 2023, just send money to the Chimney Swifts, care of Ross and Ian, drink beer.
I'm now curious, though.
The Valley.
To ask, they probably need to ask Jesse this. If the Chimney Swifts hadn't chosen to call themselves the Chimney Swifts, and I'm talking the band here, if they'd call themselves,
The Blue Jays.
Well, the Toilet Muppets, if they call themselves that. I'm just picking a random name. Would then the evolution of that entire species of bird change, and they'd now be known as the Toilet Muppets, and they disappear down into that chimney every night behind Paddy's?
I argue that I think they would experience a completely different level of success had they named the band the Toilet Muppets.
Okay, but I'm more concerned about the evolution of the bird species than... the band.
I think the burn species are doing just fine. I think if you go to the Horton Ridge Malt House on Sunday night, you will actually see the entire flock of birds flapping around. That's their act. They flap around in the establishment and then eventually swoosh down into
it's
a glass of beer.
It's quite a sight, isn't it? Watching those Chimney Swifts do their thing and then just dive down en masse into this.
I've done it on a few summer nights. Yeah, it is really cool. Keir is explaining that the birds are actually, they would be referred to as the Hupman flock if they were not referred to as the Chimney Swifts.
I see.
Keir is way cleverer than we are tonight. I don't know why he's on the money. But he doesn't like... Keir, do you like dark beers? I don't remember if you like dark beers or not. This,
and about 30 seconds later, you'll get an answer to that.
The vanilla, well, this is why you ask a question and then you move on for a little bit. I'm going to explain to you. This is the secret of talking to your, he says, I like all beers, to talking to your 30-second, 45-second delay live audience, whatnot. And this must happen. Have you ever watched when you're watching like a live news reporter, sometimes they've got, and we're going to go to Madge Dickinson live in Kyiv, Ukraine, and it goes over to Madge Dickinson and they ask her a question. I said, Madge, what kind of boots on the ground response are we seeing? I'm sorry, I've gone completely into the Ukrainian war with no warning whatsoever, but we're talking to Madge Dickinson and we just need to know what's going on with boots on the ground in Kyiv.
Mm.
And they say, what kind of response are we seeing to the boots on the ground in Kyiv tonight? And then there's this couple of seconds where she knows that she's live, but the communication hasn't arrived in her earpiece yet because it takes a couple seconds to get
she
there.
She does a lot of nodding.
So they're just standing there going, nodding. And then a couple seconds later, then she gets the question.
Yeah.
And then she, well, Dan. And there's that delay. So I feel like it's not embarrassing to wait a whole 30 to 45. Well, not always 35, 45 seconds. It's gotten better. Also, in the heyday of doing live things on a purely amateur level, which is what I do. I do amateur live production of things. I don't know how to put it. It's very amateur. And so my production company does not allow me much more than like a 20 to 30 second delay. Sometimes it's gotten better. It's gotten down to like between like 15, 20 seconds. Keir was very fast on the response of that he likes all beers. Unless he was already typing that.
Appreciate the amount of work you've done. I'm not sure about the ziggity zig thing because I've never yet figured out what that refers to. And how you came up with that name.
Oh,
in the first place.
Man, that's a
bit of a tale. Is that a whole new story?
It's not a long tail. There we are. Now I'm in Breton Brewery. Okay. It's not that long of a tail.
Maybe it's for another night then, maybe.
Okay. It's just me getting ready to tell you a good story. What do we think of this vanilla...
Well, hang on. If it's a good story, don't save it for another night.
It's not. It really isn't. You know the cartoon? The little bald guy with the round nose, Ziggy?
The cartoon character with the round nose called Ziggy?
Yeah, and he's the little short, stumpy guy. He's got a bald head and a big, huge nose.
No, the only Ziggy I've ever heard of was in Quantum Leap. It was the name of the little electronic device that took Sam
into
another time dimension. Mm.
And it changed shape, and it changed genders. Did you notice that? It was a he in the first season, then eventually went on to be a she in later seasons.
I did not notice that, but of course I said the only one. Of course not, because Ziggy Stardust is a little more famous. No, I didn't know. Okay, so is that how you got it?
No. I got it from the cartoon character. So there's this little single panel comic of cartoon characters. But the thing was, where it started, it was funny things, and Ziggy would notice stuff like, you know, traffic problems. And it was a little bit political and very kind of like a sharp take on things. But then eventually it started moving over into this really weird, nearly religious, like it was usually him looking at a sunset saying, only God can paint with these colors kind of thing. And I thought, oh, why did he go from funny to being really kind of not very good introspective, but introspective attempt? And when I was in high school, I thought I was really entertaining and funny and cool and stuff. And then when I got to university, all of a sudden I found myself taking a computer science degree, and all my friends, I'd lost track of most of my friends. And I just felt like I was studying and learning stuff that was really boring. And I felt that I wasn't me anymore. I felt like I'd lost my verve, the mojo of being my best fun loving kind of self. And so when I needed to pick kind of like an online name or something, even passwords for a long time. There you go. You know, if anyone's trying to guess my password for a long time, I said, oh, well, I'll just call myself. And in my first year of university, I think I needed a thing that was your nickname. And I said, well, I felt like Ziggy, who was a once funny and really introspective cartoon. But now I'd become this kind of, oh, what's it all about? And you're almost lost in the interpretation of it all. So I'd always felt like that. I felt like I lost the funny.
And the Zig bit? Ziggity Zig?
I honestly don't remember. Because, I felt that Ziggy would be definitely taken.
Oh,
so I thought, let's just make it a bit more interesting. It'll make it more, what kind of a Zig are you? Well, you're a Ziggity Zig. That's fine. So it's been that ever since.
So we're going back years.
And it's always difficult to describe to people. I met a good friend of mine. Where is he right now? Oh, he's down in the States somewhere. Josh. And he pointed it out one night where he started referring to me. And he said, yeah, you got to go check out my friend Ziggity Zig. And they said, and he said, how do you spell that? Two G's, two T's, and a whole lot of fun. Because the Ziggittyzig, which is funny because it's actually three G's, but it's two of them together and two T's.
Yeah, of course they are.
It's a bunch. Yeah, I think I just went back. Came from lazy typing.
I just went back to the Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
I was about to. How'd that go?
Well, I put my nose in it. My God, it smells burnt. Did you save yourself a little bit?
Oh, no. My. Yep, that's extra burnt. Yep, I did. Wow. I did save myself some. I did.
Okay. It smells so burnt. I'm trying to... Wow. I'm towards, obviously, at the bottom of the glass now. You were talking about the burnt bit on the end, and I was like, I'm not sure. It's so burnt.
Now you've got it.
Yeah.
Well, it took you two full cans to find the jalapeno of the El Diablo Mexican lager from
I remember very, 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 very well. I said, there's nothing in it. There's nothing in that at all in the first can. And then in the second, like the first couple of swigs, I was like, oh my God, is there ever? It did take, it's weird how my palate. I'm just getting I'm back to the nitro there, the first one, because I've come to learn to leave a little bit in there to compare again once.
Yeah, but it's it's, in comparison to the second one, it's bracing, isn't it? It's quite it's the
very
shock
burned.
To the system. Ooh.
Yeah, it really is. And then I'll go back to my favorite of the evening. My favored. You can't say favorite, can you? Best, better.
Of the evening, of the two? You can good, choose a favorite better. Of the two. That's
no, I'm just
the entire
about
point
English
of this, honestly.
Grammar there. Yeah, there's the better of the two. You can't call it the best. It's the better of the two.
I keep getting stuck between...
I'm smart.
Saying that okay, I drank, go. Drunk, or drink something, so... Do not drink ask me about English grammar.
When I got my nose in this, obviously the smell from this was overpoweringly burnt. Whatever it was that was burnt, I could smell. This one, yeah. Getting my nose back into the Storm Chaser again, the Breton one, and it's very, very sweet and vanilla-y. And I that's not to say I don't like burnt tastes and textures, smoky textures and flavors. I really do. But on this occasion, I think this is a bit of a whitewash. I think the Storm Chaser wins this, in my mind, hands down.
I fully agree. And it's still not like a crazy up there as good as Guinness kind of mark, but I'll happily give this an 8.5.
Thank you. That's where I was going to go with it.
I'll give it about an 8.5.
Say about that.
We don't usually agree. You're usually much more harsh on these than I am.
Am I harsh?
You are. You're a little lower than me. You're like, yeah, I like it just as much as you do, so I'm going to give it a 7. And I'm like, I like it a little bit. It's a 9. So yeah, maybe I'm too generous. We might be softening.
With my age. Oh, talking of age, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish both of our very good friends, Mr. Tim Vallely, a birthday. And he was supposed to be tuning into this.
Oh, is it today?
I was up at his gaff earlier on.
Today was his birthday, the anniversary of his birth.
Yeah, so we jammed for a couple of hours at his place. And then he wouldn't let me go without leaving. And he gave me a little gift.
He gave you a Pink Floyd t-shirt.
He did. It was all packaged up. It was a Christmas present that he wrapped up for me. And it was his birthday, and it was me leaving with gifts. And there was cookies and all kinds of things going on in his package. And I'm so...
I have a good friend who, in my early 20s, when we were quite broke and poor, often we would find ourselves... We'd take each other out on our birthdays. And on the first time we tried doing this, the person whose birthday it was the one who had the money. So the birthday celebrator ended up buying lunch for both people.
Yeah.
And we kind of stuck to that for a couple of years. It was sort of nice. Hey, it's my birthday. I'm taking you out for
I'm
lunch.
I'm taking you all out.
It was a fun little thing. Kier had to get going. Anyway, so thank...
I'm out of here.
Kier got to stop by. Never mind. So Kier's gone. Ian's gone. Tim was never here in the first place, but happy birthday, Tim. And we are here live on Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. at the Drink NS Dry Facebook page. But you can also check us out at drinkns.unsupervised.beer if you're listening to the podcast or if you're watching the YouTube edited down version, which I don't usually include this bit in the edited down version. But if you're listening to the podcast, then you're definitely catching the end of this. But thanks for stopping by, Kier, especially in the chat, and Ian for being a part of this drinking things, Rebecca for a couple of different opinions, my dog for stopping by for a strangely short amount of time, and of course Tim for not being part of this at all, but for just completing a trip around the sun. So we'll see you next week. No idea what we're going to have next week. We're probably going to move back towards some lighter fare. He said, questioning the fact that they have some IPAs, double IPAs, in the hopper. So good night, everyone. Thanks for stopping by.